Okay, some parting thoughts for what's going to be our last week, because I really won't do a wrap-up after this week. So, as far as week five, it is kind of the penultimate, and the things I want to point out, two major things I want to point out, really, I want to express my appreciation for you guys commenting, posting, reading, doing all the stuff, because it's a lot to do in 6 weeks, and you're doing a lot of the heavy lifting that I appreciate. And in that, right, when you go to the readings, to the TED Talk about the future, I'll say something about the future TED Talk thing later, but as far as the readings, there is sort of this challenge of how do I think for the future, and you know, what obligation do I really have? And I have had people push back and say they don't think they have any obligation, and you know, I get that. I mean, I think there's good philosophical reasons to say I'm responsible only for my own actions and no one else's, and I don't really dispute that. But there is also this weird element that sometimes we think about our obligation to ourselves, it's always negative. Well, if I don't do this to harm myself now or in the future, that's it. And we tend to forget about like the positive, you know, liberty and responsibility to do something good for yourself that takes care of yourself in the future. With that kind of, you know, mindset, you know, we could sort of say, you know, there's a sense we could do the same thing. Like, well, I'm not hurting anybody right now or in the future, but what are you doing to help people now and in the future? And that's a little bit why the readings about the environment are tricky, is because in some cases those are potentially generational problems, and right, I mean, you're not hurting them now, but the question is, what are you doing for them? And even then, if you look at some of my responses and posts, I mean, I do appreciate when we have concerns about climate science and how it's done, and that's why I said, but even now there's a similar issue of, even if I'm not hurting people and myself, there is the similar responsibility of what am I doing to help them at present, right? So, and those are hard because those are beyond myself and family and friends, but that is kind of what we think about the difficulty of being obligated to the future. Now, when it comes to the mission statement, I think you guys did a great job. I appreciate the honesty. It didn't really surprise me in any way. It did only insofar as a lot of times I probably get more of that kind of mixed feedback with the value statement, either regards to respect or inclusion. But yeah, there are some definite growing pains, and I hope you understand on both sides, right? So I kind of shared in some of my responses that, you know, when it comes to sort of Christianity, I'm a creed professing Christian, all of them, Nicene, Apostles, Athanasian, except that one's too long, right? So all of that being the case, but I've also had this weird journey of having been Catholic to Lutheran to Methodist, which is where I'm at right now. And I'm really wanting to be careful as we talk about this, that we still be inclusive, because there's a point where living more into our Christian values is probably the right idea. But one of the things I'm always, you know, really conscious of and cognizant of is I don't ever want it to be a question of being the right sort of Christian, because having been Catholic, it is a Christian faith. I've heard Christians say they're not, and it's because of some weird stuff in the Counter-Reformation that even just resurfaced again probably in the last 100 years. It's not even like historically, traditionally sense making. It's just, and that's the problem, right? We end up turning a lot of these sort of Christian real value laden discussions into what are political things, and that's like, no, I don't want to go down that road. So I think that's a lot of the hard work to be done. And I think on some of your posts, and I really was glad to read this, I think some of you really understand how hard that work is, but also how important that work is. So thank you, and I appreciate that. Last bit, going back to the video, kind of prepping you for this last week, because I probably won't send a reminder, or excuse me, a wrap up next week for this, because you'll be done and you won't care and you graduate, so good for you. I'm just going to tell you this weird little exercise I have people do in class relative to that video from this past week. And it sounds like a weird joke. It's not. And I'll even tell you up front what the gist of it is. But I often have people stand in a spot, close their eyes and say, you know, this is the present, and then do this thing where they step out, you know, take 7 to 10 steps and sort of count that as a year. So when they're up 7 to 10 steps, they've walked 7 to 10 steps, quote unquote, into the future. And I want you to really think about a few things. So it's not quite like when they're, it's the same idea of them trying to make the future tangible, to find problems before they happen. But this is different because you're not going to build anything. But I want you to do three things. And they're going to sound really corny and really weird, but I'll tell you why it works. I want you to really think about how you feel after you take that 7 to 10 steps. I mean, like in your gut, what do you feel? What do you hear? What are the sounds you think you hear in the future? And then most importantly, what do you think you smell in the future? And I know that sounds so corny, but there's a reason why. It is really trying to get you, and here's the thing, I don't want you to visualize anything. Don't imagine it, because that's your imagination. That is fantasy taking over, kind of making your future look a certain way. That may not be really it. But when you do things with trying to understand and imagine other sense data, other sense work, that's usually the level of your subconscious, and it's telling you a lot more. And that's why I pick on, what do you smell, right? Because smell is most connected to memory, so it can trigger more the connection between the conscious and subconscious self. But for this, for a lot of people, it's the corniest exercise I ever had them do. So I've had people write about this later in the final paper and say, I really thought it was dumb until every time I kind of kept going back to that experience, I really realized I felt at peace about where my career is and where my future is. Or for some who really sort of felt some anxiety about it, which that's possible too, they started to have some sense of what was driving that anxiety and how can they approach it. So you don't have to do it. That is not part of this week's assignment, but it is, this is what we're doing. We're looking in the future. I need you to tell me what you think that looks like. And that's the biggest assignment. Don't forget the exam over Dr. J's book. But that paper should be really easy to grade, because you and I don't know the future, but I need you to really think about it and really apply this last week's material to it. Thank you.